Hey guys, this is Jordan. Welcome back. This is episode 2 of Dunk Dynasty, a college basketball podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a few things. College returners, who's coming back from the draft? Draft remainers, who's staying in the draft? Big names, not so big names. Some scheduling news, both new and old. We're going to talk about some highlighted matches. We're going to do an updated way too early top 25. Just a couple quick key points. People moving up, people moving down. And then last but not least, we're going to round this out with the Big 12 standings predictions way too early, Dunk Dynasty edition. So let's get started. College returners, the big notable ones, we all know them. All-Americans, second-team All-Americans, Mark Sears, Alabama, Alex Caravan, UConn, Caleb Love, Arizona. These are three names that up until the last day they had a choice, they still hadn't decided. They were leaving their families in the dark. They were leaving fans in the dark. They were even leaving their coaches in the dark. So what does this do for all these teams? Mark Sears coming back for Alabama. It is going to improve an already star-studded lineup in Tuscaloosa. You got Mark Sears, Latrell Wrightsell, Chris Youngblood, Grant Nelson, and Cliff Omiuri coming from Rutgers. This team is going to be the team to beat by the end of the season. I locked them in at plus 1,500 a few weeks ago to win March Madness. They're already down to plus 1,100, tied with Kansas and Duke as the best odds-on favorite. Alex Caravan coming back for UConn, also big. The issue I have with the UConn Huskies, can they go back-to-back-to-back? Sure. Are they going to? In my opinion, no. They have a projected starting lineup of Hassan Diarra, averaging 6.1 points a game last season. Alex Caravan, Samson Johnson, averaging 5.4 points per game. A freshman, Liam McNeely, is ranked number 9 in the ESPN Top 100. I'll give him that. And then transfer from St. Mary's, Aiden Mahini. This team will be good. Will they repeat? In my opinion, not a chance. There's a lot of people that think they can go back to back to back. I just don't see a world where that UConn starting lineup has any chance versus Alabama, versus Kansas, versus the defensive juggernaut that is the fighting Kelvin Sampsons. Just don't see it. And last but not least, we got Caleb Love returning for Arizona. Arizona has lost a lot. Tommy Lloyd has lost a lot. They lost a five-star that decommitted and went to their in-state rival Arizona State. However, they got Caleb Love back. They got Trey Townsend from Oakland. Got KJ Lewis and Jaden Bradley. This team, they could be good. There's a lot riding on whether or not Caleb Love is going to take that leap that everyone needs him to take in order to be successful. And let's not forget, they moved to the Big 12 this year, who has six teams in a lot of way too early top 25s. So it's a lot hinging on what Tommy Lloyd can do down in the dirty T. I hope they're good. I'm an Arizona native. I root for all of the Arizona schools, but I don't know if they're going to be able to compete in a very, very heavy, top-heavy Big 12. Draft remainers. The big one, most notable, freshman from Kansas, Johnny Furphy. Everyone thought he was going to return. He waited till the last day. He decided that he was going to stay in the draft. A lot of people think he could be a mid-first rounder. Some people think he can be a lottery pick. I think for what Kansas has and what they're returning and what they've done in the transfer portal, I think it's probably better for him to stay in the draft in what is going to be a weaker draft in 2024. Let's not forget Kansas's starting lineup. Dewan Harris returning from injury. They got South Dakota State transfer Zeke Mayo. AJ Storr, Wisconsin transfer. KJ Adams. And then Hunter Dickinson is returning for another year. Could Hunter Dickinson have won in the draft? Sure. Is he going to beat out the likes of Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon, the other big guys in this draft? No chance. So he comes back. Kansas has a chance to run it. Will they run it all the way to the Natty? I hope so. I think an Alabama-Kansas national championship would be an amazing game. I hope for my plus 1500 for Alabama they don't run into Kansas during March Madness, but it's a very likely possibility. David Jones, he is staying in the draft. Penny Hardaway loses his number one guy. Don't got much to say about him. Penny Hardaway, no one really trusts Penny Hardaway, I don't think, at this point. He has such high hopes every single year, and it just never pans out. And the name that we all seem to hate, everyone on Twitter, everyone on Instagram, makes you want to hate him, Bronny James, USC. Eric Musselman loses his big-name guy. He was injured for a lot of the year, didn't score a lot of points, obviously. But the only reason he's staying in this draft is because he knows he's getting drafted by a team because they want his dad. And mark my words, if a team drafts him other than the Lakers and LeBron stays with the Lakers, that team that drafts him is going to regret drafting Bronny in the first round. But anyway, we'll move on. That's just quick highlights. Scheduling news. Maybe not so much news, but Maui Invitational. It's a loaded field again. Some names that you might want to see. Auburn, Iowa State, UNC, UConn. Some names that you might not want to see. Michigan State, but they'll be there. Should be a good invitational like it is every year. Some more news came out about the Hall of Fame series. You got four sites this year. You got Las Vegas, you got Baltimore, Maryland, you got Phoenix, Arizona, and you got Madison Square Garden. A couple games I'm looking out for. Virginia, Villanova. That's going to be played in Baltimore. You got Gonzaga and UConn. That's going to be played at the Madison Square Garden. And you got what could potentially be a top 25 matchup between Arizona State and Grand Canyon. In-state rivalry. Games like this need to be played every year for the good of basketball. You should play in-state teams in your non-conference schedule every single year. Whether it's a home-and-home, whether it's a round-robin tournament, I have been a supporter of an Arizona round-robin tournament every single year since I've been in college back in 2015. Arizona State, Arizona, NAU, Grand Canyon. A four-team round-robin tournament should be played every single year. I will say that every single year until it happens. But moving on from some scheduling news, jumping down to some way too early top 25 updates. Got a couple teams moving up. First one, we all know and love them, just talked about them, the Alabama Crimson Tide. They can be number one. Possibility they're number one on some draft boards. I have them number two. ESPN has them number two. But we'll see as we get closer. UConn, I know I talked about UConn. I don't think they go back-to-back, but the return of Alex Caravan will benefit them greatly. And another moving up is going to be the University of Tennessee. In my way too early top 25, they were ranked at number 21. I would move them up to maybe 15, 16 now. Some even have them as high as 13, 14. But North Florida, Chaz Lanier, he finessed the entire world. People thought he was going to Kansas. People thought he was going to Kentucky. He went down south, went to Knoxville, and Rick Barnes locked him up. You got Zakai Zeigler is returning. Felix Okpura transferred from Ohio State. Darlin Stone Dubar, Hofstra transfer. Rick Barnes just knows what to do with these mid-major guys. Let's not forget, Dalton Knecht transferred from Northern Colorado and then was the SEC Player of the Year. Rick Barnes knows how to coach these guys. The question is, can he coach them past the Elite Eight? Only time will tell. Some teams that I think have moved down in the rankings post the NBA early draft removals. Florida, Walter Clayton's returning. However, I think they moved down just because of all the teams that have moved up past them. Not that they got worse, because they got Elijah Martin from Florida Atlantic. They got Alex Condon. I think the team is going to be good. I don't know that they are going to be a top 25 team when the season ends. Texas, they moved down again, very similarly to what happened with Florida. Texas didn't get worse. Everyone around them got better. And last but not least, Ohio State. Ohio State dropped right out of the rankings for me. They're at 26, maybe 27 in the top 25 rankings. There's just so much movement in that 16 to 25 range before the end of the season. I don't think you recognize from a way too early top 25. I don't think any of those top 25 are still going to be there. And last but not least, what everyone is waiting for, the way too early Dunk Dynasty Big 12 rankings. Couple quick reminders. Let's not forget the Big 12 lost two teams. No more Oklahoma, no more Texas, but what they did gain is an Arizona squad, an Arizona State squad, and a Utah squad. Two of those three will be very good. Utah will not be. So, let's quickly jump into it. You guys probably all know who's number one. If you don't, I will make it known, but you should. The answer is Kansas. Kansas will be your number one team. They should be your number one team. If they're not, make them your number one team in your way too early top 25. Make them your number one team in your Big 12 rankings. Make them your number one team in your drafts. If you're doing team drafts, I do a team draft every single year. It's super fun. If you haven't done one, highly recommend it. Then you got Baylor, Iowa State, and Houston rounding out the top four. If I have to be honest with you, I think any one of these top four, I'm going to rank them 1A, 1B, 1C, and 1D. Any four of these teams likely will have a number one ranking at some point this year. You got a super close Arizona at five. Like I said, they got Caleb Love coming back. That team will be very good. Arizona State, they got a number 35 class of incoming freshmen. They have a number 3 transfer portal class. This team is going to be very good. The state of Arizona basketball is in good hands between Arizona, Arizona State, and Grand Canyon. Rounding out the top 8, you got BYU and you got Cincinnati. BYU, they lost a lot when Mark Pope left. I think there's a lot of opportunity for them. I think they can compete, but I think that this top 4, 5, 6, however you want to put it, I think they're just too good for BYU to be anywhere in that top 5. Then you go to the bottom half of the Big 12. These are going to be, I'll put Kansas State, West Virginia, and Texas Tech in this middle group. They could be very good. They could potentially go in. You got the Sunflower between Kansas and Kansas State. That's a really good game every single year. Kansas State won at K-State, and I think they won at Kansas in Lawrence. I don't remember, but this group of 9, 10, and 11 can either win a lot of games against these top 3 or 4. They could also lose every single one of them. So Kansas State, West Virginia, and Texas Tech. I'll even throw Colorado in there. 9 through 12, you can put Colorado at 9, Kansas State at 11, and I'd probably agree with you. The middle of the Big 12 is a shit show. Then you got the bottom. These guys are going to be the bottom in wherever you go. UCF, TCU, Utah, and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State lost everything. They lost their coach. They lost all their players. They're going to be bottom feeders this year. Utah, like I just talked about, they moved from the Pac-12. They don't have a lot to look forward to. They're moving from the Pac-12 to the arguably the toughest basketball conference, one of the toughest football conferences, and they won't be good this year. And then, like I said, UCF, TCU, they will just be there. They'll show up, they'll play basketball games, and they'll go home. They'll lose a lot of basketball games. UCF and TCU might win a game or two that you don't expect them to win, but it wouldn't be keeping your hopes up. So, which one of these teams outside, I'll say outside of Kansas and outside of the top 4, no Kansas, no Baylor, no Iowa State, no Houston, which one of these teams do I think come the end of the year, come March, can win the Big 12 tournament? Arizona State. If Bobby Hurley can do half of what the world wants him to do with this team, they can go very deep. I think they can be a Sweet 16 team. Don't count them out. Kansas State, like I just said, they always like to impress come March. And Texas Tech. Let's not forget they returned Chance McMillan. He's very good. They got the coveted New Mexico transfer in JT Toppin. And they return Darian Williams and a transfer from Minnesota in Elijah Hawkins. I think this Texas Tech team is going to be very good. I just don't think they're going to be better than any of these teams on the left side. The Big 12, come the end of the year, if all goes well, could have 8 or 9 teams in the top 25. You can clown me all you want, but the Big 12 is going to be the best basketball conference this year, and it's not going to be close. So, wrapping up, Kansas is good. Kansas is going to be good. Last year was an off year. Bill Self is not going to have 2 down years in a row. Alabama is also going to be very, very good. And I think UConn is fraudulent. I don't think they're going back to back to back. Thank you. come again. I will be dropping episode 3 next week. See you later.